Greetings from the prison industrial complex. This is the Notes from the Pen podcast, and I have snuck onto the phone here because we have been closed down for a week now. No yards, no patios, which means no chance to record an episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little renegade status and play one of the greatest hits for you. Let Mama C pick it out. It's her selection for the day. Just remember, everyone be safe. If it's snowing out there, be careful on the roads. We love you. We'll see you next week. And we are here.
That's perfect.
Hey, that was quick. That was a quick fucking tire change right there for old Doug Sandhope.
Don't ever say old people can't learn new technology. Greetings from...
We missed because I fucked up, because the road and the amount of friends. We were supposed to podcast the other day when I was in Phoenix, and you called right at the perfect time, but I forgot we were supposed to do it on this phone where we could have recorded it, and we missed the fucking most beautiful 15 minutes of a Notes from the Pen podcast.
It was a good one, and it wasn't even we weren't even halfway through before I was like, I even said it to you. I'm like, Jesus Christ, we should have been recording this, record. Today has been a day full of podcasts. A hungover Douglas woke up and had to do Artie Lang's, who was pushing through his own.
I was in Phoenix, and we were supposed to podcast, but Michael Bean was coming in and Jennifer, his wife, to see the show. And I get there at 10:30 in the morning. I said, just come to our Airbnb and hang out until you can check into your place. So just as he shows up fucking straight off a plane from L.A., he's spitting fire. You call in, and you two start going at each other. And it was a most beautiful fucking roast battle. You're both on your top of your game. Michael Bean yelling into a speakerphone. Like, he's yelling into a conch shell. He's quite understand. You don't have to put your face right up to the phone. And you're busting his balls. And then right in the middle of this, at this fevered pitch, fucking Brendan Walsh comes in and says, hey, Norm MacDonald's dead. Which, if you know Brendan Walsh, for years, he would just, like, tell you that Gene Hackman is dead just to watch the audience all groan and then say, yeah, so you never knew how much you loved Gene Hackman until I told you he's dead. You should all go home and write an email to Gene Hackman and tell him how much you have Hackman fever up in this bitch. So, like, the last person you're going to accept news of someone's death from is Brendan Walsh, but he completely kills the fucking... Kaylee fact-checks it as we're yelling bullshit. Nope, Norm's dead at 61. And then we just went right back on with our... their own phone call. It was fucking a beautiful moment, Bobby. I'm sorry I wasn't there to hit record on the right phone.
That's all right. Some of those things are just meant for me and Michael Bean and his wife. Threesomes, insult. Right afterward, first of all, when you first said this whole episode, let's just do this whole episode reliving the one we didn't fucking record. Immediately. When Brendan Walsh said that, I go, everyone says Norm MacDonald's dead. He's not fucking dead. And then we started to go back into it, and you were like, no, Staley verified it. But, Michael Bean actually picked the phone up. And we have this real contentious, playful, halfway serious fucking shit talk thing we got between the two of us. And he picks up the phone, and I immediately recognized it was him, which he was impressed by, which any guy who's fucking senile and a stroke victim, I think it's not really a high bar. He put his wife on the phone and was like, put me in the hot seat and was like, well, you remember all that shit you were talking about my wife? Well, she's here. You want to say it to her now? And I played like I wasn't going to at first. And I was like, oh, you mean how smart she is for marrying America's villain who no one likes? Yeah, I said it to her. I said, he's got to be where I repeated that. I thought about fucking her a revenge fuck until I realized how old she was. And then what's interesting about that? Hearing you in the background telling him he doesn't need to yell into a fucking speakerphone, first of all, but also how organically it came out that somehow Bill Burr made the mistake of saying something other than flattering about him on a podcast, and now forever, his wife even said, yeah, he loved Bill Burr, but now he's, like, weird whenever someone brings his name up. And I was just...
It's weird Jared Hammes, he introduced me for the show. Brendan Walsh brought him up that night to introduce me, and he made it funny. Walsh is saying, yeah, I know this guy from Cameo, but I guess he's also done a lot of movies. And then he started playing clips of movies he's been in, but just one short sentence that has, like, you wouldn't, hey, stay away from that window or whatever. Just something that's not iconic at all. And he played a bunch of those. And then he played the Dropping Loads guy clip from Stern. Remember that porn star? Dropping Loads.
No. Right, you get it.
He brought him up, and then he gave me this long introduction. And I knew he would. Just kept overthinking it. And he's calling me the next day saying, yeah, next time I introduce you, I'll have it way more rehearsed. First of all, I think I should introduce myself instead of having out. It's just,
he's, I can't wait to be out there in person and really, like, give it to him and just back and forth. I'll give him this. He usually makes the same joke at the end about me being a shitty shot when I try to kill myself. But this one, he put a little bit of a twist on it enough to where I was like, all right, you old bag. I'll give you, you get a little pass on. A lot has happened since we last talked, one of which was your tour. You did the Midwest leg of your tour. And
well, I met a friend who shall remain nameless of yours that used to be in there.
The viewers know who the Nine Finger is, and let's just say that he attended a show.
Somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. And he was really, really gassed up about it afterwards.
And he was the most gentle, polite guy ever, especially in comparison to my normal crowd.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, super self-deprecating, crazy, but yeah, he's the best. But he was really, so I guess the point is he wasn't really vibrant socially out there. So to come to your show and have a like this movie trope moment where security didn't want to let him back, and then, you know, the lady checked and you were like, yeah, let him in, was, yeah, just thanks for that, man. He loved it. It was, you like made his life pretty much.
That was a brilliant weekend, especially with Adam Gilbert and Crypt Daddy on stage. It was chaos. Junior Stop is always brilliant.
He got a real dose of stand-up. He'd never been to a live one. So he got the full Stanhope Bisbee experience with mutants as openers. And not even like half joking. Like, yeah, if you go, you got to wear the Notes from the Pin shirt. And he did. He's in the pictures. All the pictures with the Notes from the Pin shirt. It's a weird feeling. Like so happy that everyone is doing it, but also like it's just shines a bright light on just how far I am from freedom. When everyone's out there, I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah, I forget that you can get pictures somehow if I send them to Mama C. And I did take a couple pictures of the Wilbur when it was empty from the stage because you asked me to, and I still have never sent them.
Yeah, send them over there. You can send you can attach pictures on JPEG. And yeah, it's been an eventful couple weeks. Where? So you're back at home now, right? Anything?
Yeah, it's Thursday, so I'll start heading out slowly on Saturday again to get back Thursday, and then after that I have no fucking idea. But I'm not home for more than 2 days at a time, I think.
Most of our viewers, we share, like almost all of my viewers, probably a good 75% are termites as well. So most of them know, but if you're part of the 30% that isn't a Doug Stanhope fan, how dare you, first of all. Second of all, I'll go check his shit out. Go visit him on his tour, because at this point, we're all just doing each other's podcasts and in a cycle. And when you did Artie Lang's today, and you said you wanted to ask him questions, but you're the guest, so it's like you don't want to ask shit that people already know. And I realized when you're on, I'm like, I'm just running my fucking mouth the whole time. But I don't want to ask you questions that all my viewers already know about you. And then, so we're kind of both in this little standoff where actually you could ask me stuff, but you're my guest. From now on, you just fucking.
We find out something new about each other every phone call.
Yes, we do. And it's such a pleasant. I just float back to my.
Fucking Artie was just talking about being in solitary confinement for 2 months, and that's where he started writing notes for his new book. I asked him, hey, how did you write notes in solitary? Because Bingo didn't get fucking crayons in a fucking mental hospital that she went into voluntarily.
So you didn't get to ask him. Well, in case you were wondering, they give you these rubber flexible with like a little mini pen. And then you can...
Yeah, no, I did ask about that, but then I wanted to get into our podcast because I was asking him about exercising, just how people were complaining about gyms being closed during COVID. Like, what? You can't find something heavy to lift at home? Why do you need to go to...
You have 1 minute remaining.
Ooh, I got a prison vocab word today, since we kind of got away from that.
Oh, go.
Today's prison vocabulary is meatball. A meatball is used in a derogatory term, kind of like dismissively, for a sentence of 5 years or under. So it's basically like, shut up, you only did a meatball. You're not really. Like, this is a hobby for you, not a lifestyle.
It's oddly like a tomato can in boxing.
When you
fight someone, it's an easy win just to pad your record.
Right. I don't know the etymology of meatball, but it's stuck. It's a real thing. I think it's regional. And so if you ever want to...
Next time we do this, maybe we say if we had Brendan Walsh to do the sound effects, you could do it Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style. A meatball, does it mean A?
Yes. Yeah, I would love to have...
fucking a sock.
A fifi. What is a fifi used for?
So I'm standing in the phone line, properly annoyed, because the phone lines are a fiasco outside. And I see this kid, you know, he's probably maybe been here a couple of days, and he's got CL20s on, which are like the clear headphones, like the cover your ear headphones.
Oh, boy.
So he must have borrowed them from someone. There's a basketball hoop right by the line that, like, the line has forced it. And he's out there, and people are, like, shooting around, and they all, like, are kind of talking to each other and shooting. And he's out there with his earphones on, full on, like, jumping around, dancing, like, grabbing the ball, and, like, full on, like, I'm talking, like, just loving life. And, it, you know, good for him, but, you know, your happiness really reflects my misery, and I don't want to see it. So fucking take it down a notch. And he's, like, he just has this air of confidence about him with his, like, half dance move, half, like, rebound the ball and, like, go... and shot that you're like, oh, he must be good. Every single shot he takes is just an air, like, bounces into the fence across the way, doesn't hit the rim, doesn't deter him at all. He's like a lot like, he was like a lot like Hollywood, it seems like, in that way. Like,
okay,
a completely undeserved confidence. You know what I mean? And so I just look up from the phone line and I'm like, oh, I hate you. I fucking hate you. And I knew I hated you. So flash forward, we're locked down for, well, actually we're not locked down for count. I'm going upstairs and I got to walk up. Like, I don't know if you've like seen some of the pictures of what it looks like in this prison. It's real old. And you got to walk up these stairs and then you get to the first gallery and loop around, walk up another set of stairs, kind of like a apartment building or something. And or like an emergency exit in like an office building, you know
okay,
what I mean?
Right.
Like
those
But instead of it being real narrow, it like kind of is long ways. It connects to two sets of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going up, and here, and I'm walking up the stairs, and I get to the next gallery. It like opens up, and there's this kid, and he is got other people around him. He first of all, his eyes are half open. His hair is like disheveled, and he's got a Santa Claus laundry bag flung over his shoulder.
Come on.
Full of 30 bottles of spud juice.
Like, are you kidding me?
Just completely out in the open. And he's like, hey, and he's got someone there with him. Like, who the fuck was it? Someone I knew was like being a spokesman for him because he knew me. And, you know, I wouldn't stop to talk to that kid for nothing. And the dude he was with, David Brandon, was like, Hey, do you want some of these? Do you want any bottles?
You're kidding.
And so I stopped, and I was like, how much? He's like, $3. And I looked, I assessed the situation, because a lot of times people, you know, peel that shit off, you know, before the 4 days or whatever.
Right.
I'm I'm trying to ascertain the quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy next to me, who was actually talking to Santa Claus with the Spud Juice, Ohio, who was like wobbling back and forth. Now, and he smells, like Spud Juice is so loud. Like you can smell that shit immediately. Mm. And so I see this whole thing going on, and I go, yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. So I kind of go lock down and I lock my door. He has to pass me to go to his cell, but I'm trying to avoid him. I'm like, I hope this asshole doesn't stop here because he's so hot and loud. And there's so many fucking rats nowadays that they're going to see him on camera. Someone's going to tell on him. They're going to rewind. And I don't even want to be seen talking to him. You know what I mean? We go to lockdown and this asshole starts fucking yelling. He's hampered as fuck. He's back in his cell and he starts yelling, Tupac. He just starts yelling, holla if you hear me, Tupac. Doesn't even make sense. He just keeps yelling at. And then one of the COs walks by, and up on him, he's like, you bald headed bitch ass. And he's saying, he's dropping the N bomb, but he's not with a hard R, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, you bitch ass nigga, this, that, yeah. Which I make a point to never say, unless it's on like a international podcast. As an example. And so he's saying it, and the dude on the other side of Hollywood, Jay, snatches it out the air. It's like, hey, bro, stop saying that shit. And then it turns into an argument between a super drunk dude and then Jay, who's all right, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay's just talking about, we'll just wait till these doors pop. I'm going to go in there and beat your ass. They're just going back and forth. He's like, I'm going to be at your cells, what he's telling Ohio. And Ohio goes, yeah, I don't give a fuck, bitch, I'm ready. And then he gets kind of quiet and he goes out the back and goes, hey, bro, you know we're on the third gallery, though. Like, you know, like he's hammered, but he's not so hammered that he doesn't realize that it's easy to slip and fall off that and fall to your death.
Yeah.
And he ends up yelling until, like, you know, about 10 minutes later, like six cops with pepper spray come up there, and I'm like, oh, shit. But, you know, and it just is a whole thing. They end up taking him the whole. He ends up spitting on CO. Like, he's disappeared. They disappeared him.
Okay.
But still to this day, when we lock down and it gets quiet, people throughout the unit will go, oh, holla if you hear me, Tupac. There's this guy I wanted to tell you, and I think the viewers should know about, because it just really irks me, and I don't think I've brought it up before.
Yeah.
It really irks me that this human being exists, but no one knows who he is.
Okay.
His name's Michael Fuller. He's like an 80-year-old dude with like liver spots on his head. He's balding. He's in a wheelchair, and he is a glitch in the Matrix. He is a general disruptor who is going through chemo right now, and I guess he's got like an estimated 6 months to live. He isn't rode out to a higher level because we're close enough to like the hospitals and shit.
Yeah.
He has to be here. And I first noticed him standing in a phone line. There's like little red squares and everyone's in a unified line. And there's nowhere. Okay. He comes in at like a 45-degree angle as if he's going somewhere. And instead of going around the line, he bursts through it. So we all like get out of the way, like six of us, because it's not, he's not breaking it perpendicular or one person. So he's like going like diagonal through it. So everyone has to go, whoa, what the fuck, man? And he's old enough and in a wheelchair. So you kind of go, I'm not even going to cut into this guy. He doesn't even know what's going on.
Right.
But he does know what's going on. And so I turn around. He's like, where's he going? Oh, he's just here to, I love him. He's here to just cause disruptions. Or, you know what I mean? Like he is like one man Project Mayhem. He'll do that, and then you'll turn around, and he'll be digging through the trash. He'll be making inappropriate comments to the transgender inmates and cissies. And the other day, probably a couple months ago. Well, before we get to that, so I notice him, and I'm like, who is this guy? I either hate him or I love him. I might love this guy, right? And he's got liver spots all over his head, wispy hair. He's going through chemo now, missing all his teeth. But there's a twinkle in his eye. The mischievous twinkle in his eye that lets you know, oh, he knows what he's doing.
Does he talk a lot? Or does he talk? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
I mean, he doesn't have, like, real conversations with people that I've noticed, but he'll have outbursts. What the fuck?
Okay.
Or whatever.
Okay.
So we're coming back from chow, and now the small yard isn't open, so you're not allowed to be out there. You have to walk through it to go to chow, and then you walk through it to come back.
Well, right to the right of the entrance, it's like the front door has like a little kind of tunnel built around it, a little breezeway. He's off, and then there's fence to the right, but there's a little gap between the breezeway and the fence, and he's backed into there just hanging out like the yard's open. And I was just like, okay, I guess no one – this guy just does whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
Later that day, it's raining. No one's on the yard, but you can stand in that little breezeway and look out. He's the only one out here. He's facing some weird direction, and he's got a trash bag over his head, and he's just staring off into the distance. And I'm like, I think I love this guy. A week later, he's on the microwave talking to one of the larger transgender giant boobs.
Okay.
A black lady, black gentlewoman.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks off, and he goes, I didn't even like black women in the world. Now I like black men. That's what he said. It's what he said. He's on LOP literally till the rest of his life, if he really does have 6 months to go. And a CO will come out and go, hey, Fuller, go lock down. And he'll go, fuck you, write the ticket, bitch.
Oh,
and she'll be like, no, I'm telling you, go lock down. And be like, and I told you to go write the ticket. And he'll put his coffee in the microwave and turn it on. And
not give a fuck.
I was standing in line just now, and they put him in the hole. So there was a dude there that was going to healthcare, and they said he had to go to get chemo, and he's got like 8 guards escorting him, and he's got a spit mask on and all that shit. You know what I mean? They're just telling stories, and I could just tell who they're talking about. And I'm like, I fucking love that guy. And it really bothers me that he's not a part of a reality show. He's not performing for anyone but himself. He just doesn't.
Interesting. Why does he go to chemo if he only has 6 months left to live? Or is that an answer that we wouldn't be able to answer? Or a question?
Well, they have to give him treatment. I don't know. I've just heard the 6 month thing.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Went in the chow hall and he was in cuffs the other day. I thought that's why I talked about him. And we were like, oh, leave him alone. Everyone's like, leave him alone. He's dying. And he knows that he plays that shit up, that crazy old man thing. Like, I don't know where I'm at. But he fucking totally knows.
But he does.
Knows where he's at. And, yeah, it just bothers me that Michael Fuller, Mike Croak, he probably beat cancer, though. He'll probably beat it. They said he was over there, and there's a bunch of other people getting chemo, and they're all like, I hate hospital food. He's like, I love it. Give me it. I'll eat all your hospital food. Like,
God.
He's got so much energy. And
I just like so much that his idea of disruption is cutting a line in the most masterfully awkward angle. Just for the sake of doing it. Because it's super weird.
Yeah, yeah. He is like the epitome of it, and it breaks my. It's a travesty that shouldn't be allowed to exist. That no one knows who he is, because he's not. He's like a genuine, authentic disruptor. You know, you'll walk by and he'll have half his body in a trash can, like rooting around for stuff. So he's telling the story. This other dude chimes in when the dude's telling the story about him being over the healthcare. He goes, "Yeah, I was coming back from a writ." Where you're in the shackles, like when I was in the hospital, and they strip you in and out when you're back. So they have this little mat with these tear-off things of pieces of paper with footprints on them. So because you got to take your shoes and socks off, so you'll tear one off, and then you'll stand on that so you don't have to stand on bare feet on the ground, right? He says, he gets done. The guy gives him his clothes back. He picks up a whole pad of like 200 of them, rolls them up, and puts them in his wheelchair and just wheels off. Like, there's no reason.
Oh, my God. This is incredible. I'm impressed.
I love him. I love him so much, man. And, you know, they wrote him up because I guess he was over there. They were giving him a shot or taking his blood pressure, and he pinched a nurse's ass. And he was mad because he's like, she didn't even care about it, but these bastards want to write me a ticket. You know, so I'm not saying the guy's a saint.
Clearly not.
But I just like that it's the same reason I like Gigi Allen. I just like that Gigi Allen existed. I couldn't exactly hang out with him all the time or nothing, but
right.
I just like knowing a guy like that exists.
Cool.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com, and follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.